Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Pay Attention, Please, Hollywood Life's Real Housewives podcast. I'm Chris Rogers.
And I'm Eric Tedisco.
And we got another week of Bravo Housewives headlines. And I don't know about you, Eric, but I am excited for everyone to hear. I mean, I can imagine you feel the same way, but excited for everyone to hear our chat this week because we interviewed Real Housewives of New Jersey star Jackie Goldschneider, who is always a pleasure to chat with. She is our first guest to come back three times to the podcast. Yes. We love talking to her. And she just spilled a lot about what's going on, that crazy, you know, Melissa cheating rumor. She gave us more details about what's to come on the cast's Ireland trip. She dished more details about the big reunion fight that we're all waiting for. And how she feels going to the reunion, because that's filming next week already.
Yeah, it was really nice to talk to Jackie. She gave some good tidbits. You know, the big finale fight that we've seen clips of in the trailers is definitely kind of what everyone's been waiting for, because we know that that leads into the absence of the Gorgas from Teresa's wedding, and Jackie gave some good intel about that. And yeah, it was just a really good conversation. We talked about, you know, her drama with Danielle, and she has a very different perspective about that than Danielle does, which is funny because we just interviewed Danielle last week. So there's definitely some contrasting opinions going on there. And then we got to talk to Jackie about just some kind of personal life stuff about her, how she's doing with her eating disorder at this moment, the Ozempic craze that's going on, that even some of her cast co-stars have admitted to being on it. And she talks about her memoir that's coming out in the fall. So yeah. I think everyone will really enjoy the conversation with Jackie. We kind of hit all different topics.
Yeah. And we do have a lot of Jersey to talk about, which we'll do later in this chat. But I do want to start with another big hot topic this week, which was obviously Vanderpump Rules star Tom Sandoval's interview on Howie Mandel's podcast, which is so random.
He has a podcast? News to us.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know he had a podcast. No offense there. There's so many podcasts out there today, including ours. Yeah. But I think a lot of fans were surprised that Tom Sandoval would do his first interview post-affair on Howie Mandel's podcast. But from what I found and what a lot of fans found is that apparently Tom's cover band's manager is married to the producer of Howie's podcast. Yeah. So it makes a lot of sense. A friend doing a friend a favor. And I think in this case, Tom probably felt like the interview would be lenient. It would be more controlled. And Howie's, I mean, I think it was kind of obvious how he's not really an avid watcher of Vanderpump Rules. I don't even know if he's ever seen an episode.
He said, and I quote, "Who's Sheena?"
Yes.
After the episode aired of Sheena's wedding. So that speaks for itself.
So Tom got basically a platform for him to say what he wanted to say. Yeah. And in the interview, I mean, he dropped a lot of bombs. He said that he tried breaking up with Ariana 2 weeks before she found out about the affair. He said that she punched him, he claimed, which is interesting because there is a little spot in the mid-season trailer where he looks like he has a black eye.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'll have to wait and see how the show plays out to see if that is what that was. But I don't know. What did you think about the interview?
Definitely random, but yeah, there obviously is some type of business slash personal connection to him and Howie. I mean, that was obvious. Why is he going on Howie Mandel's podcast? And Howie Mandel is not versed in the Bravo slash Scandal world. I mean, he really didn't know anything. The daughter was definitely trying to help and was the most knowledgeable person there. But still, it was, you know, there was just no pushback. There was no extra questioning of, wait, what do you mean? And you know, he definitely threw Ariana right under that bus a couple of times. I mean, and listen, we don't know if everything he said is true or false or somewhere in between. Yeah. Like there could be some stuff he said is true and some stuff he's not. Like, I think it has been said that Ariana was dealing with depression and maybe she wasn't ready to let this relationship go. And, you know, Tom Sandoval was, obviously that doesn't condone him cheating on her best friend, but you know, there definitely seems to be some holes in the story that obviously you can't corroborate because it's just him speaking and there's no one there to kind of fact check him or to even push up against him a little in terms of feeling like he's not being 100% truthful. But it was a very interesting interview, frustrating at times. I guess he got what he wanted because he did an interview and was able to get off scot-free. And, you know, obviously the reunion is where he had to face the fire, obviously, which we haven't seen yet. But yeah, it was just very bizarre. And kind of a follow-up to all this is that reportedly he was not allowed to do this based on his contract with Bravo. I think apparently like he was not supposed to be doing this interview.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard claims of that. I don't know what's true and what's not. Andy Cohen was actually asked about it on his own radio show, either today or yesterday. His co-host John Hill asked, you know, like, was he allowed to do this interview? Isn't he in a contract? And I mean, Andy said you would think so. I don't know if Andy knows the complete ins and outs of Vanderpump or if he just didn't want to comment on the legalities of it. Because I don't even know if Andy
Andy's not a producer anymore, which
I thought. Okay.
I didn't realize until this whole you know scandal came up because he has said that on numerous occasions that yes. He is not a producer, other than
obviously he does the reunions as a fan, like he comes in as a fan, he still watches the show, he follows along. So I don't know, we'll see. I mean, we know that Ariana, Tom, and Raquel were all interviewed solo by Andy following the reunion. It'll air, I think, as a part of the reunion, if not an extended version on Peacock is something I'm hearing. But either way, it was like kind of, I don't know, it kind of felt like when Giselle and Robin went on their podcast and spilled the stuff about Juan, but not on camera. So this felt like kind of, like a breach of contract a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, everyone's waiting for this reunion to hear your side of the story. You just did it on Howie Mandel.
Yeah.
So it's like, now we don't really, you know, we'll probably hear more of the same on the reunion from Tom. So it kind of sucks, but I don't know. I'm here for all the drama of Vanderpump. I want to see how it plays out. You know, this week's episode was crazy because we're really starting to see, I mean, Tom Sandoval and Raquel haven't hooked up on camera yet or anything like that.
He confirmed in the Howie Mandel interview that the first time that they made out or he didn't
before the wedding, right?
How far they went was boys' night. So before the wedding.
So they had already hooked up.
I don't think that they're like a full-blown under the radar affair yet. But yeah, he did confirm that on the podcast, which again is probably something that Bravo was wanting to be a big bomb at the reunion, and now Sandoval kind of let the cat out of the bag early. So you know he did that, I guess, but the show is definitely getting even more interesting because you're starting to kind of put the puzzle pieces together and notice things, and you know there's clear issues with Sandoval and Ariana that you're seeing, and the drama with Raquel is obviously heating up. But yeah, it was a pretty good episode. Sheena's wedding was beautiful, so nice. I thought it was really beautiful wedding.
I thought it was nice. Sheena's growing on me too. It's taken several years, but I'm really liking her this season. She revealed that her and Brock were actually secretly married a year prior, which is interesting because it was about a year ago when they got engaged that we were exclusively hearing that they were going to do like an engagement wedding all on the same night. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be filmed last season, etc. It didn't really follow through because obviously, as we saw, they only got engaged last season. There was no like wedding, etc. So I think the plans changed for some reason. But now it's interesting to hear that they really did get married a year ago. I don't think it was on the same night that they got engaged. Mm-hmm. But maybe they were like, hey, let's do this privately off camera, like, and then we could do a bigger wedding next year, etc. But like, we were hearing exclusively like murmurs of they were going to get married last year. And now it sounds like they did. So
yeah, and she's just like, I love it. She just like randomly brought that up in the episode. And everyone was like, what? And then it was just like, okay, time to get quote unquote married now.
Yes.
But yeah, Katie watching on the balcony was hysterical. I thought that was so funny. She just doesn't give a damn, which I think is hysterical. But I think the other important thing of note that had come out from Vanderpump this week was Lala was on Watch What Happens after the Sheena wedding episode aired. And she said that there's something in the finale episode that I guess we're probably about a month or so away out of. And a conversation between Raquel and Ariana that she said is like shocking, and that Andy had said that he addresses that with Raquel one-on-one, and basically
at the reunion.
Yeah, at the reunion when they do their one-on-one sit down. And I kind of got the vibe that Raquel said to Ariana, like, nothing would ever happen with me in Sandoval. Like, that's, I think, that almost like she,
I'm guessing that Ariana swore
to the grave that never, ever, ever.
Yes, because I mean, Tom Sandoval said in his interview that Ariana suspected certain things along the way. I think he said that someone said it, that Ariana was suspecting things along the way. So this was not a complete blindside. I'm wondering if in the finale, it's Raquel basically saying to to Ariana that, like, yeah, nothing would ever happen with Sandoval.
Lala said
that conversation will blow everyone's minds and see how sneaky. I mean, she didn't use the word sneaky, but she alluded to that.
That's what I'm thinking. So we're on the same page about that. I mean, you know, remains to be seen, but that's kind of what I took from their incident.
I don't know if you saw, but Lisa Vanderpump actually went on Twitter and she reacted to that statement from Lala. And she actually said it's one of the most craziest TV moments she's ever seen. And she addressed it herself at the reunion as well. So I like can't wait. I want this month to fly by. Let's jump ahead, shall we?
I know. And then just one other thing is we have Garcelle on next week's episode for all the
I'm excited for that. Fans.
That'll be fun. And then her son gets into a mess. So
yeah.
We'll see with that. But yeah, Vanderpump is always giving week by week. I mean, lately we've been coming on the podcast and it's like, oh God, here's a new thing. And if like every time someone goes and watch What Happens Live, there's more revelations coming out. So yeah, we're going to keep on rolling with the Vanderpump stuff because giving.
Yeah. We also got news on Roni Legacy this week. That was, as far as we knew before this week, dead in the water because Jill Zarin has actually admitted this, that she played hardball with negotiations. She was going to be on the Legacy show. She wanted to get paid as much as the other ladies. I think Bravo or Peacock felt like she hasn't been on the show in a long time. They didn't feel like she should be getting the same as Luann, you know, Sonia. Ramona, I don't think was going to be a part of it. But anyway, so that fell apart. And now the new update is that they are reviving it a little bit, at least the development of it. And it's going to be now a sort of girls trip style show. I don't know if it's going to be an extension of actual girls trip. I mean, I think that'd be cool if it is, but it's basically going to be like a trip of legacy cast members from New York City, going on like a 7-8 day trip together, girls trip style. And there's rumors that it'll be like a repeat of Scary Island. Like maybe they'll go back and I think that would be amazing. But if they do that, I really want Bethany back. And I'm almost wondering if Bethany, who actually has gone on record this week and said that this is an amazing idea for Legacy, I'm wondering if she'd be more into it because it is just 7-8 days of filming.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't take up her life. It wouldn't involve her personal, like her daughter getting involved. It wouldn't involve.
It's just a trip. Yeah.
It's just a trip. So I would love to see Bethany, especially since Kelly is rumored to be joining the cast, Kelly Bensimone. I'm hearing it's Dorinda, Sonia, Luann, Ramona might be back.
Yeah. So that was, it's a Page Six article. And that was kind of the bombshell from it, was that now Ramona might be back in the mix. Now, remember, I spoke to Ramona at the Batch Boss party. Yeah. Shout out to the Batch Boss party in New York. And she was like, trust me, she was very disinterested from being a part of any Roni thing. Now, of course you could say, I mean, she's talking to me, someone that works for the press. So of course she could say, she's going to say whatever she wants me to hear.
Right.
But she had said that she heard it was dead, that she's not interested in doing it anymore. It sounds like the rumors about Jill kind of being the one to put those, or so we thought, the final nail in the coffin turned out to be true. Now, the Page Six article says that Jill might not be on it. So maybe she kind of screwed herself. We don't know. But I mean, I think Luann and Sonia and Dorinda have always been locks.
Locks.
Sounds like Kelly has been in the mix. I'm sure they've been reaching out to her.
She's talked to Page Six. She did their reality podcast, and I think she wanted to do it. So I think if they ask her, she'll do this.
I think if it happens, you're going to see Kelly there, and I think Dorinda, Luann, and Sonia are locks. And I think now the question is Ramona going to be involved? Now I don't think Bethany will be on it though.
I don't know. It's a stretch. I would love to see her, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I've been saying this. I still think in the back of my head that they are kind of waiting for the new New York to see how that goes, because if that's a successful reboot or whatever you want to call it, they might kind of just usher away Roni Legacy and all, you know, all those girls if they have a hit on their hands with, you know, the new Roni.
Right. But I also wonder if it doesn't work, will they bring maybe one or two Legacy back into the mothership show?
Yeah.
And sort of do that. I'd be into that. We'll see. I mean, maybe the new girls will bring enough that we won't need them, but like you and I have always said this with Girls Trip, there's just so many options for the women that we love who have left shows, you know, that we can see them again. I mean, Jackie even said that in our chat, like, you know, we talked about her friend role versus full time. And she's like, listen, like now with all these spinoffs and et cetera, she's like, once you're a part of Bravo, you're always a part. And that's how I feel now with Girls Trip and, you know, even with Traitors, like we're seeing some housewives on Peacock's Traitors, you know, like there's just so many shows and options that I don't think anyone ever really goes away forever, which is great.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it would be fun to see all the New York girls back again. So I don't know. We'll see. This is only a report. Bravo said absolutely nothing about this. This is really just one-off report. So we'll see. We have some interesting updates that Mauricio went on Teddy and Tamara's podcast, Two Teas in a Pod.
Yeah.
I guess just, I don't even know, talking about the business and everything. Come to find out, he basically revealed that some of the women have been bringing up him and Kyle's alleged marital woos on the season. He said on the podcast that one stupid story came out there. Now this is about allegations that him and Kyle were divorcing, which he confirms is not the case, which I obviously believe. And the girls decided to talk about it on Housewives. So now it's a storyline.
Yeah.
Of course, classic. So there's definitely stories out there, and Kyle and I address it and we'll take it from there. It is what it is. Who do you think brings it up?
I'm trying to think who's we got Garcelle, Sutton, we got Dorit. I don't think Dorit would bring it up, but then again, maybe she felt the most comfortable.
I have two people.
I think it could either be Dorit, because if we remember, if we go back to like season three, when these kind of rumors first came out, or maybe it was two or three, Lisa Vanderpump was the one that brought it to Kyle. And maybe it's because she felt closest to her. And she's like, hey, like, what, you know, are you guys okay?
Yeah, but LVP was stirring. Remember the
stirring, and Dorit's not really a stir.
She wanted Brandy to bring the magazine, remember? She wanted Brandy.
If I'm thinking who's a stir the pot for it, maybe Garcelle.
I actually think it could be Erica, because we've seen that since everything that's happened with Erica, she likes other people to be in the mix. Like, remember, she had no problem, you know, getting kind of throwing Kathy under the bus. And remember that scene where Kyle was like, so that's what you want, my sister to be called out. And Erica was like, for the last year, I've been pummeled. So Erica could be one. And I feel like Sutton just can't help herself, even though they're very close. I feel like Sutton just can't help herself.
Yeah. Well, apparently it stems from a photo that Kyle wasn't wearing her ring, which, I mean, most couples, you know, sometimes you forget it. Sometimes you're at the gym. Like,
I don't think there's any.
That's why he was like, it's so silly. It's so dumb. But of course, that's what this show is. That's their jobs, to bring things up on camera. So, you know, they'll address it. And he was actually promoting his new book. I think it's called The Deal Maker.
Okay. Yeah, clearly I didn't know about that. Because
I just did some research and found that out. But he talks about Kyle, like, you know, he shot down the rumors that there's any divorce or anything like that going on, or that he's cheating. Because that, you know, obviously surfaced last season, you know, or him and Dorit getting too close, which was silly. But he also talked about their infamous falling out with Rick and Kathy Hilton early in the series, when he left Rick Hilton's
real estate
company and started the agency.
That was the root of all those problems.
Yes, that was why they didn't talk for years. So he talks about that and how that really went down, and etc., which, you know, I found interesting. And basically that, like, he asked to be made a full partner. Rick said no. So Mauricio went home, talked to Kyle about it, and they both made the decision that, hey, we'll start your own business, you know? But he said he's always been adamant about not hiring anyone that's ever come from Rick's real estate firm, because he just wants to keep the respect and stuff like that. And he's never poached any clients, et cetera, but they still just cut Kyle and Mauricio and all their kids out of their lives for years. We obviously know they later made up, but then, you know, with last season's Aspen situation, they are still not speaking as far as we know. They're not speaking again. And so I'm sure we'll see some of that play out. Whether Kathy is back on the show or not, we're going to hear about it, especially because Kim, we've seen, is filming again.
And I about Kathy and Kim doing these National Siblings Day interview without Kyle? That family can't get it together. It's so sad.
That was sad.
Yeah. But yeah, I definitely think that the whole business side of the Hilton, you know, Richard stuff is under the surface, a lot of the main issues that they've been dealing with, even though that hasn't really brought up a ton on the show. I'm sure Kathy and Rick don't, you know, want that to be discussed on Beverly Hills. I think that has a lot to do why there's a lot of major drama specifically between Kathy and Kyle and Mauricio and Kathy and Rick. But yeah, I mean, I respect Mauricio for going on the podcast and shutting that down. And yeah, so those are my picks. I think it's Kyle or Sutton who's going to bring it up. We'll remember that when the episode's
fine. I think it might be, I think I'd throw Garcelle in that mix, but I think it's one of those three, but we'll see. Yeah, we'll discuss it when it comes up. But also Girls Trip episode 6 of 7.
Yeah. We're done.
Coming down to the end. Honestly, I was bored the first half. I kind of liked certain things about the second half. Well, number one, I can't discredit the first half totally. I was glad that we finally got the Portia by Leah by scene.
Because that was in the BravoCon trailer.
Was in the BravoCon trailer. I've been waiting for that scene. It wasn't as exciting as I thought it would be, but it was still funny. I laughed.
Yeah.
Then Leah, you know, got sick and was gone the rest of the episode, which is, you know, we talked to Alexia and Marisol earlier in the season when they were promoting, and they said she was basically absent the whole season. I feel like that was kind of an unfair statement. She's only seems like she's only going to miss maybe episode 6 and 7, but
yeah,
I can see how that pissed everyone off. They already didn't like her, and then here she is, like, kind of bouncing and being like, I'm gonna go to the hospital and just chill, you know. But I mean, if she really thought she was sick, like, she's doing what's best for her, and everyone has to respect that.
Yeah, she's had a miserable trip. I've also noticed she hasn't really been promoting the show, and like, she hasn't done Watch What Happens Live. Like, I just don't think she had a good experience between her health, between the fact that she didn't get along with most of the women. It really seems like she's tight with Candace, and that's about it. She just didn't seem like she had a good experience at all.
I appreciated Whitney talking more about her husband losing his job and that whole like sexy scene they did together. And, you know, she basically said that they made the decision to guess she was going to quit the show, which I thought was a big admission. When that happened, he got fired. She was like, I was ready and prepared to quit Salt Lake City. She said, but Justin, her husband, basically sat down. He was like, hey, like 5 years ago, you said that you would make enough money so I could retire. He goes, so let's do it, you know? And she was like, all right. And all the women like applauded that. They loved that he supported her keeping her job and doing what makes her happy, and that he was going to take the sacrifice and be like, hey, like, I lost my job, but you know what? I'll find another one, or I'll just support you and help you run your business, et cetera. And then she said she's made more
money now. She's making more money. Yeah.
I don't know how many months she was talking about, but it was obviously less than 12. And she said, then he did the previous year. And they all clap for her. I thought
she has her beauty business now. Rose Beauty, and obviously she's making money from the show itself. And obviously got a little extra money in her pocket from Girls Trip. Yeah. You know who's bugging the S out of me on this show though?
Marisol? Giselle.
No.
What? Honestly,
Heather is so annoying.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know why. And I don't know if that's a hot take. Anyone out there, let me know if it is.
No, I'm sure a lot of people agree.
You know what? It's like she's giving like pathetic. Like she like wants to be like friends with like the popular people, and she's
so
like,
you were kind of like,
excuse me, it's like giving, it's like
you were like Giselle in that scene where she was like, why you seem she wanted to say you seem pathetic.
Yeah,
say the word.
But I appreciated Giselle saying like, why do you want to be a pick me person? I think Heather basically explained like, I've always been someone that you got to just roll with the punches and kind of ride with people. And it really does speak to the Heather that we've seen on Salt Lake, where it's like Jen Shah tells her to jump and she says how high, even when Jen is not only doing what she's doing on the side, you know, business-wise, but also treating you like garbage. Yes. So I don't know. I just don't, that's not how I ride with friendships. Like, I don't think you need to have blind loyalty to people like that, because you just make yourself kind of look stupid.
Yeah.
Sorry, Heather. Hopefully she's coming to the podcast and listen to all the crap I'm talking about her. But like, I don't know. She's just like annoying me on this show.
Yeah.
She really is.
Yeah. I think it's, and then like her and Whitney made up in this episode.
I like Whitney better. Sorry. I just agree with what Whitney says.
With what
Whitney says. Like, Whitney is so on point, at least what I'm seeing as a viewer, is what Whitney says. Like, Heather is like sitting in the vans or whatever, like saying she's gonna flip a table, like Teresa saying this, that, and the other thing, and like she doesn't follow through with what her words are. So
yes, it seems more of an act and Whitney seems more genuine. And it was interesting to see them make up, and then like we know that the reunion for Salt Lake City aired after this. And we've talked about this so many times, I'm not going to get into it too deep, but I do think moving forward, I hope that they really just pick X Housewives, because this whole, it just mixes things up. It confuses people. So it's like, now I'm supposed to believe that you went into the reunion and then fought. I mean, it's just, I don't know what to believe anymore. So I'm just hoping moving forward.
And they got into a gnarly fight at BravoCon. I was sitting front row. I had to hold somebody's hands next to me because I was so horrified by how they were all screaming and shouting at each other at BravoCon. So it's like, nothing ended up working out for these two. But one more episode left of Girls Trip.
Yep. We'll see how it ends.
It was fine. It was, we'll come back next week and we'll, you know, give our thoughts on the
overall series
as a whole. But I haven't loved it. I've liked it. Same. I haven't loved it.
Same.
Yeah.
Let's get back to Jersey. Yeah, Jersey.
Yeah, Jersey. We're going to cap off with this before you guys hear the Jackie interview. The girls make it to Ireland. I don't think that place they're staying at is cozy and comfortable. I wouldn't be sitting with you guys closed at that place. I don't know. It's very awkward.
Yeah, it felt haunted. You know, you got these old photos, old oil painting photos of random people, you know, a lot of stone floor, stone walls. It's just kind of like, it gives this creepy haunted vibes. I do think it's cool they're staying in a castle. I love that they're finally back on an international trip. I know they had no choice. We dealt with COVID and quarantines and stuff like that. I think the last trip they said they were on was in 2019. I forget, where did they go?
They went to Jamaica.
Oh, that's right. Jamaica. Yeah. So this is their first international trip. I always love an international housewives trip. So I'm loving seeing the Jersey girls. I love when Dolores is like, now girls, we got to remember we're not in Jersey anymore. Yeah. We can't be yelling.
It's fun to see them in a new location. Cause if I have to see those women at the Jersey Shore one more time, and I'm from Jersey, I love the Jersey Shore, but we need a break. So it's so nice to see these women out of their comfort zone completely. Yeah. I mean, they're in Ireland.
Yes.
So
this week was all about building up to, you know, there was a lot of talk about Margaret's former friend, Laura, what she told Jennifer and Teresa. And we finally got a little bit of that once they were in Ireland. They were all sitting at a table. They at first were talking about last week's psychic, the coffee reader. And Jen finally admitted that, she did feed the psychic a little bit of information. She played dumb, but she did admit it. But that conversation quickly turned to talk of, well, what did Margaret's former friend tell you? Because that actually came up during the psychic hangout.
She saw an owl, or so she said she saw an owl, and that Margaret had a knife in her back.
Yes.
So the psychic says.
That Jennifer in front of
another client again, by the way.
What's up?
That woman's never going to get another client again because she was a little exposed.
Yeah, not good, not good. No. But Jennifer in front of the group said she would not reveal what Laura said. So everyone's like, that's kind of weird, whatever. But then when Jennifer was alone with Danielle in their room, getting ready for the night's festivities, Danielle said, listen, you've told us everything else that this friend told you. Why are you not telling us the one last thing that you said you refused to repeat? And Danielle guessed, is it about Melissa? And Jennifer said, yes. And basically said that, some guy saw Melissa and another guy making out in the back of a car. This guy told Margaret the info. And then I'm guessing Margaret told her former friend the info.
Yeah, that's how it went. Yeah.
And
I do know who these names of these people are, but I don't want to say it.
Yeah, I don't either, because
the guy she made out with is a great looking guy. I just don't want to say
it. Yes. The guy is very good looking.
It's such major allegations. I don't think it's our place to, you know, go on Twitter if you want to know.
You can go search Google, Twitter. Yeah, you'll find it. But basically, Melissa has not become aware of this rumor yet on the show. She, obviously in real life, she's talked about it on her podcast, but yeah, so I'm guessing either next week or the week after, or maybe even the finale, because I think from what we're hearing with Jackie, our interview with Jackie, and then our interview with Danielle last week, it kind of sounds like it gets exposed at the finale. So when they're back in the States, and it sounds like, from what I'm getting, no confirmation, but it sounds like Danielle is actually the one that shares the information with Melissa, because she told us that they have some sort of falling out in the finale. And then Jackie couldn't give away too much this week when we interviewed her, but she did say that
that's true.
Basically, yeah, basically that's true, that's what happened. But you have to take a listen to the interview. But yeah, I don't know. And then Melissa, we do have to talk about real quick. Melissa was on Watch What Happens Live after the episode. There's a lot of comments. She got the second chair. Yeah, but Teresa's gotten the second chair in the past. She was second chair I forget who, but she was second chair before. I saw a photo on Twitter. So that's not a big deal. But Andy and Melissa were kind of like combative. They were kind of going at it. It's some tension. I don't know what to think of it. There's a lot of tension. They're all filming the reunion next week. Andy said, I don't think we're going to get much resolution between the Gorgas and the Teresa.
And Jackie agreed with us. Jackie, I don't think agreed. Anyone thinks that resolution come in. Maybe Joe Gorga thought so in the crowd, right? He said family's never over. Well,
yeah, but I almost wonder if he's saying that because, I'm a fan of Melissa and Joe, but I do fear for their place on the show. I do think fans are getting tired of this family feud. We've been doing it for 13 years, as Melissa says. Yeah. And there's been anytime they've made up, it's just been sweeping stuff under the rug. There's been no true resolution. And it's like, where can we go from here? And I'm wondering if they're going to put Melissa on pause, maybe make her a friend and maybe shake things up.
The show would rather lose Melissa than Joe, if that makes sense. Because I think with Joe Gorga, and obviously they come as a package deal, so I don't know how that's going to work, Joe Gorga gets more airtime than any other husband in the history of Housewives.
I think we can. Andy really likes them.
He brings the men together.
Yeah,
like you could tell that Bravo.
He's the glue of that group. That
Jersey has like a theme. The theme of Jersey family. Is family. Mm-hmm. That no other franchise. I mean, like Beverly Hills a little, but that's the theme of Jersey. And I think if you remove Joe Gorga from the pieces, then like you lose that whole clique of men. Because he really, love him or hate him, he really does bring all those guys together. So I don't know. I agree that there's going to be some shakeups. And just my last note on this, give them a little bit of time. Don't start filming again, Memorial Day weekend, back into it. We said before, film in the fall, film during the holidays. They've done that before. We could take a little bit of a break of the same old with Jersey and take some time to figure out the cast, because I think that things are going to change after the season of Jersey. I think all the fans feel that way.
Yeah. But with that, let's lead into our interview with Jackie. I think everyone will enjoy what she had to say and find some things rather interesting, because I know we did. We are so excited today because we have Jersey star Jackie Goldschneider. Welcome back, Jackie.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're so excited. You are actually, I think, our first guest to make 3 appearances on the podcast.
Woo. No way. Yeah. I'm so honored. Look at that.
I just figured that out last night.
Look at history.
I love it. See, that friend status isn't holding me back.
I know.
I'm full speed ahead.
You're always delivering.
Well, speaking of, I want to add, so this is season 13. You've been on the show for several years now. This was your first season as a friend of. There's obviously rumors that you started the season knowing that. Is that true or not?
Yeah, I knew that from the start. Yeah.
So then going in, did you sort of approach things differently, or did you do it all the same as you have in the past? Like maybe interjecting yourself in conversations more and stuff like that?
Yeah, no, I went in saying I'm going to do exactly the same job. I mean, for anyone who thinks that I wasn't paid for this role, like this, it's still like you're doing a job. So, I mean, a friend gets paid. You get paid a little bit differently, but your friend definitely gets paid. So I still had to bring it. So, I mean, I didn't know how to do anything but what I've always done. So I went in and just, you know, did everything the way that I had always done it. And, you know, like the only thing I had to get over was really the ego of it. And other than that, it was all the same. It really was.
Yeah. Has it been weird watching the show, not seeing like your kids on it now? Obviously there's different, you're not on it as much because you're a friend versus full time.
Yeah. It's a little bit different experience. Like my kids are not like upset about it. Like they don't care either way. They're happy to be on it. They're happy not to be on it. They don't care, which made it easier for me because I didn't have to like console them or anything. They didn't care. And obviously Evan loves the show, but he doesn't care at all. So it made it a little different since I'm not like really fully in, you know, I don't have a personal storyline. So I maybe don't go as like, I used to like my first two seasons, like I'd always have friends over to watch the show. And now I kind of like, I watch it, like I'm alone in my pajamas, you know?
Yeah. And also I'm just curious, did you feel like any of the women treated you differently once your role changed, specifically maybe the girls that you're not as close with?
Not really. The current cast members, I mean, they kind of left me alone a little more, whereas like maybe they were like out to get me in past seasons. I think they knew that like I wasn't the one to come for this season. But other than that, not really. No, I mean, like in real life, Melissa and Margaret are like two of my closest friends, so they would never treat me differently.
Yeah. And that's obviously what we've always loved about Jersey is there's a lot of genuine friendships on and off camera. And you've obviously still been involved in a lot of the show. Like as a viewer, it doesn't feel like you're a friend. I feel like the only thing we're missing is the personal stuff that you did.
Yeah, I know. I mean, everyone says that to me, which is the best because it means that I did a good job. It means, you know, that I really got myself in there. And look, I wasn't trying to like hurt anybody. That's never my goal. You know, I was just really trying to, you know, ask the things that came to my mind and like, really like do the same things that I've always done. You know, listen, there's people who don't like me who are never going to like me and find a problem with whatever I do. And there's people who love me who will always love me no matter what I do. So, I mean, like I just went in knowing that and I did the same thing that I've always done and I tried to do a great job and that's all I can do, right?
Yeah, for sure. We see that you and Danielle didn't hit it off from the beginning. We actually had her on our show last week and she said that she felt like you disliked her from the beginning and quote, hated everything about her.
It's so bizarre to me because it's a totally different narrative coming from my mind. Yeah. Like the first time I met her at the roller skating party, we really had a nice conversation. We were roller skating together. I was super, super nice to her. Yeah. And then, at Margaret's house, I did look at her outfit, but she doesn't have eyes in the back of her head. She did not see me do it. You know, I think she decided that night. I think Danielle had this idea that she took my job, right? So she kind of looked at me as like, oh God, if she gets her job back, I might lose mine. So it was like me versus her, which is never something that I felt. So when she had her cast event, which was right at the beginning of the season, and she invited 8 out of the 9 of us, I thought that was such a mean thing to do, especially considering that I just took such a, like, even though I was part of that decision, it was still very hard for me at that point. And I felt like she really took a low blow by doing that. And from then on, I was like, well, this girl's not a good person. And I don't really, she's not the type of person that I want to be around, but I don't like hate her or anything. She's just not my type of people. But I think she created this narrative where we're like, we hated each other so that she had somebody to go up against. And like, it didn't have to be any of the main cast members, you know? So I think she took the easy way out, but whatever.
Do you think there's ever a chance for you two to be friends in the future?
Yeah, I don't think anything that drastic happened between us that we couldn't. And like, I would like to be friends with her. I don't know. I don't think anything that bad happened between us that we couldn't be friends, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I'll put that out there. Sure. Why not?
I've always been curious, like how, because we watched it. We saw, she did not see you look her up and down.
No,
like
she didn't. I'm telling you, she decided even before that she didn't like me, that it was like me versus her. And then to not invite one person, like that's really mean. You know, like when the cameras go down and you go home, like I'm still like the one person not invited to the party. And like, that just sucks. Yeah, like, okay. Why do that? It's so mean. It's like a mean girl move. And then I was like, all right, I don't like this chick, you know, yeah. But even with that, like, I'm still open. Listen, if I can make up with Teresa,
I know. Yeah.
I can make up with anyone.
Right. For sure. To kind of piggyback off of that, we've seen you and Jennifer Aiden have your fair share of disagreements over the years, but this season, it does seem like you've kind of warmed up to her at moments. You guys have some tender moments when you were asking about what's going on with her marriage. Did you guys get along better this season, or are we seeing less of your
dynamic? No, she, after that, where I really tried to have like a genuine conversation with her and show her, you know, some empathy for her situation, she, no, she like clumped me with Melissa and Margaret and really just wasn't warm to me this season. But and then like a few months ago, she blocked me or like unfriended me on Instagram. And I was, you know, that's like, you know, that's like a flex on social media. So I was like, you know, maybe we're not friends, but I'm good. I'm good without Jen. We're fine. I'll survive.
There is a clear divide amongst the cast now, nice, more than ever before, I feel like. Obviously, we know we're building up to a season-ending fight between Teresa and Melissa and this cheating rumor, you know, and not going to the wedding, etc. What's your take? You've seen a lot over the years between these two. Do you feel like there's any coming back from this one?
I don't think so. It's so toxic. It's like, even when they do make up, it's just like another fight is just like bubbling there, you know, it's just like waiting. So it's the same crap over and over and over. They're never going to be okay because they never dealt with the initial, you know, problem. So the initial problem is all sitting here and it's like bubbling. So even when one, you know, flames out, another one comes up. And the initial problem is that Teresa hates Melissa for coming on the show. Mm-hmm. Melissa resents Teresa for the things she's done over the years. And I really don't think, I think that it will just keep being the same fight over and over and over again.
Yeah, there really is just never resolution.
Never. And it's, yeah. I don't love the divided cast. I would like everyone to be able to like have their petty spats and then like go back together. Like I think about my second season where like the big fight I had was like whether my birthday party was cheap. And that was like great. Like that kind of petty crap is great. Cause then you can like have a big fun, like few weeks of fighting and then like make up and go on vacation together, you know? And like, I don't feel like we do that anymore.
Yeah. On this most recent episode, you guys made your way to Ireland and we see the Melissa Gorga cheating rumors kind of start to come to the surface. I know obviously you're a very close friend of Melissa's. What was your reaction to seeing how this kind of started with it being from Laura to Jen telling Danielle?
I mean, anyone who gives Laura any credibility is wacko because Laura is the most, like she has such an agenda to hurt Margaret and to get herself on the show. And the combination of those two things, she will say and do anything. I mean, does anyone actually believe that this woman went and said, I have something about Melissa, but I can't tell you. I mean, come on, please. She went there knowing she was going to spill everything. And I have such a visceral reaction to cheating rumors on a reality show because you put that into the universe and there are, no matter how incredible it is, there are so many people who are still going to believe it because they want to believe it. Yes. And it's so hurtful to your children and to your spouse and to your parents and to everybody. Like you hurt so many people when you do that. It's not what reality TV is for. It's not entertainment. And I felt very, very badly for Melissa. I felt bad for Joe. I think it's embarrassing. I think it's awful. I think it's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find it interesting that, you know, even on this most recent episode, Jennifer was like, you know, that this has happened to me on the show. Yeah. I don't want to be the one to bring this information, but then she still shared it with Danielle. Like, we all know,
you know, the second that you bring it up,
they're on
you're
going to
end up sharing it. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought the whole thing was really tasteless, but you know.
Yeah. Were you invited to Teresa's wedding?
Yes, I went to Teresa's
wedding. Oh, you went? Okay.
Yeah. You know, I went and I stayed, and I'm not judging anyone for not staying, but for me, I felt like, why would I go if I'm not going to like celebrate? Why am I going if I'm not going to celebrate their, you know, their marriage? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Evan and Louie were really friendly back then. And they're still friendly now, but they were friends. And I thought it was a nice gesture. And when I said yes, I didn't see the point in me leaving early.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because we know Margaret and Jen Fessler left early.
Yeah, and Margaret left early too. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. That's their decision. But for me, when I had my issues with Teresa and mm-hmm. everybody went to Lake George without me, I mean, nobody skipped anything from me. Everyone right. still like was very close with Teresa. Nobody did anything on my behalf. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it makes sense for me to skip someone's wedding. It does nothing for anybody else.
Yeah. Did Teresa kind of tell you that she appreciated you saying, because she's gone on record and said she's not happy that Margaret left, even though.
No. I don't think Teresa like is in a warm, cozy place with me right now. I don't think I did anything. I just think it's like who I am and where I stand, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now you guys are on the Ireland trip currently. We had Dolores on a couple weeks ago and she said that we would see a side of Teresa we've never seen before. What can you tell us about that? Because from what we've seen so far, there's nothing too crazy yet, but like, should we be prepared for like some big, huge blow up?
I actually think that, there is a fight, but I don't think that's what she's talking about. I think she's talking about a softer side of Teresa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. An emotional side of Teresa. And I don't want to give anything away, but, that's what stands out to me is a really emotional scene with Teresa.
Okay.
After the island trip, we have also Dolores had told us that she hosted, her and Paul hosted the finale party where there's a big fight and we've seen glimpses in the trailers. What can you tell us? Because it sounds like it's chaos start to
finish. Was the most chaotic. I'm trying to think if it was the most chaotic event I've ever been to.
Maybe the
I think it definitely was. I mean, I was watching it all unfold saying, is this like real? Is this really happening? I mean, because not only are you watching a reality show, but you're watching two families like completely destruct in front of your eyes. And you're watching other people like getting in there. And like the whole thing was just like, I mean, people are going to be like,
is this like bigger than table flip, bigger than christening?
I mean, christening was like wild. I'm the minority that doesn't think that like table flip was like that outrageous. I mean, the table didn't flip. Yeah. It listed up, right?
The story is bigger than the moment almost.
Yeah.
So I think the table flip was like crazy because it was probably like the first like violent act on TV, right? Yeah, but the christening was like out of control. But I think this is probably since I've been on the show, this was definitely the wildest scene. The wildest. Say,
the only rival would be Danielle pulling Margaret, obviously.
Oh, that was wild too. Yeah, that was pretty wild too. But that was just like two people. This was like a mob fight. This was craziness.
Yeah. Danielle teased that something comes between her and Melissa. Does it happen in that finale?
Yes, it does. Is
there anything you can tease about that?
No, I don't want to ruin anything for the viewers, but Danielle knew what she was doing. And I think it just, you know, it's just a shame. Mm-hmm. It's just a shame that like people, you know, it's hard because you're on a show and you have to be entertaining and you have to say things that you might not say in real life. But at the same time, you know, like you have to also be able to go home and live with yourself. So Danielle does do something that nobody's okay with.
Wow. All right. We can kind of fill in the blanks with that.
Yeah.
See it happen. We know Reunion is filming next week, I believe. Yes. Are you going to be there? We hope you're there.
Of course. What hopes?
Are you nervous? Excited? Anyone you want to?
No, I mean, I'm not. I know the way it works with friends. I know they're only there for a portion of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not nervous because one thing I always do is I tell the truth. Mm-hmm. I speak only things that I believe. I don't like make stuff up to get airtime. So there's nothing that like I would stumble over. There's no question you can ask me that I'd be embarrassed to answer. So I'm not nervous at all. I do think it was a rather aggressive season. So if there was any one season that I would choose to not be at the full reunion, it might be this one. So it's all working out the way that God planned it, you know?
Yeah. On Watch What Happens Live this week with Andy and Melissa, he said that he doesn't really have any hope sort of for a resolution between Melissa and Teresa. I know you already said there's really no coming back. I can't imagine this reunion's going to be a pretty one. I mean,
I can't imagine either, but I will tell you that every once in a while, Teresa has this like massive change of heart. And so you never know. Yeah. I mean, Louis is like the Dalai Lama, right? So like, you never know, you know, she gets like, she meditates and then makes people like bridesmaids like, you know, so you never know what's going to like appear in her dream the night before. Right. So she could come in with a totally different mindset, but I'd say that's a low probability. So I'm guessing that it's going to be a lot of back and forth fighting, a lot of screaming between, you know, Danielle gets in there too. So Danielle, nice. Jennifer and Teresa are just going to be like, you know, blowing their heads off at Melissa and Margaret. And, you know, I'll be watching from the greener.
Yeah. Jackie, what's your opinion on Louis? Because I feel like there's so people very much are torn. The viewers, you women are torn about him.
You know, it's tough because Louis, when you're with Louis, you're like, wow, he is incredible. Like smart, well-spoken, really nice guy. There's like nothing that you see when you're with him. It's only the things that you read about or that other people tell you or that you hear. So like, I almost feel like it's so hard to tell because my friends experience one thing, but everything that I've experienced personally has been nice. So I don't really have much of an opinion on Louis. Mm-hmm. I like him. When I announced my book, he wrote me a very, very sweet message. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like the guy, you know, I mean, I think if other people listen, one thing that I have learned on this show is that I will not fight other people's battles. I'll be there for my friends as a friend, but I don't have to dislike somebody just because my friends dislike them. I will never do that again. So, I like Louis. I understand why other people have a problem with them. And I don't think that they are making anything up, but me personally, I haven't experienced anything bad with Louis. I like Louis.
And speaking of your book, it's coming out. When does that come out?
Oh my God. September 26th. This book was the greatest, greatest thing that I've ever done. I love it so much. I wrote every word of it myself. Yeah. I'm really proud of it. And it comes out September 26th, and then I'll be on a book tour right up until BravoCon, which is in Vegas, which will be a good time, assuming I'm there. I'm really excited for a lot of stuff at the end of the at the end of this year. But you could pre-order it now. It's called The Weight of Beautiful, and I'm really excited about it. I'm excited because like I feel like people don't really know my story. And right now with everything going on with like diet culture and diet drugs and everything, I think it's a really important story to tell.
Yeah. Your picture is gorgeous on the cover. It's
thank you.
But we did want to also ask because the Ozempic thing is, I mean, there's so much chatter about it and constant stories about it. Dolores outright said she's on it. I think she's since clarified that it is for health reasons, but she basically said she's also doing it to lose weight. What's your take on her doing it and just so many people using Ozempic just to lose weight?
Yeah, I mean, I'm never going to use my voice to shame anybody for wanting to lose weight. I understand that draw. And the Ozempic craze and the diet drug craze is so much bigger than just individual people right now. From where I'm sitting, I mean, I would only use my voice to really draw attention to the potential, you know, problems in terms of the eating disorders that are resulting and going to result down the line from these diet drugs. So my issue is not with any like individuals who might be on it and why they might be on it. And I would never shame anyone for it. So, but I do think that it's going to cause some major problems down the line.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really commend you for, you know, we do miss you sharing your personal story on the show. I think it helped so many people, you know, last season, the season before. But I feel like, you know, obviously that was just the tip of the iceberg. So I'm really excited to read your book. And I think a lot of people.
Thank you.
It's going to help a lot of people. So like, thank you for, you know, taking the time to do that. And I'm sure it's therapeutic for you as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was great. It was really great. And it's a really good book. It's really, really good. Yeah. I mean, everyone at the publisher was really excited about it. Mm-hmm. And two of my friends have read it and they just loved it. So I'm excited for the world to read it, a little nervous, but yeah, the world is in like a diet craze right now. So it's good timing and bad timing.
Yeah. Just one last thing on my end. Was it harder to open up about your eating struggles in the book or on the show?
Oh, definitely on the show. Mm-hmm. Definitely on the show because it was right at the beginning. I mean, you'll see the whole story about how everything unfolded, mm-hmm. but when I was not like really in a good headspace when I decided to open up. I was really sick when I started that, like my therapy, and when I went to Renfrew, mm-hmm. and I was very scared and really sick. And by the time I started writing the book, I had almost a year of therapy, a year of recovery under my belt. And I was really in a much, much better place. And now I consider myself like almost fully recovered, although there always is this piece of it that will stay there. But I'm so healthy now and I'm so grateful for that, but I was not in a good place then. And I was very scared of everything. And I remember in particular, the ice cream scene, I was so scared of eating that ice cream. And what people didn't see is me go home and like, really, like I was tortured by that. And I really had to work really hard to not compensate for the ice cream. And so there was a lot that people didn't see, you know, so it was very hard to do on camera. I was very glad to do it on camera. Yeah. I was grateful that I had the whole world holding me accountable and also cheering me on, but there's a lot that people didn't see. Writing the book was such a great experience.
And we're happy you're so healthy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And last question, do you want to come back next season if you're asked?
Yeah. If they ask me, no matter what role they ask me, I would come back. I love the show. Yeah. I really do. And this season I had a great experience. So I wouldn't mind coming back full time. I wouldn't mind coming back as a friend. I'm not going to push for either one. Whatever happens, happens. Yeah. And you know, the great thing about Bravo now and Peacock and all the streaming networks is there's so much content and there's so many shows. And like, I feel like once you're part of the Bravo
world, you're in it forever. Yeah.
You're there, you're in it. And you're like, you're fair game, you know? Yeah. So whatever they want me to do, I always consider myself part of the Jersey franchise. So I'm here whatever they want.
Well, we're happy to have you. And thank you so much for stopping by again. We can't wait to
see how the season goes out,
read your book and talk again soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.